Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing? Y'all doing good? Awesome. How about our worship team? How amazing are they? The gift that they are to the church. So thankful for them and what they do week in and week out. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. This side of heaven. Heaven I'd rather be than right here with you all, but here's good, okay? Heaven would be better, but here's good. You get what I'm saying?
Yep. Amen.
Okay, look, I'm going to go through some ground rules. If I ask a question, I like answers, so here's good, heaven's better, right?
Yes.
All right, I'm glad you guys get that. But we're going to talk a little bit more about heaven and the other place a little bit later because the series that we're in is entitled You Asked For It, and you guys asked for a bunch of questions, and today we get to talk about the second most asked question. Actually, we got the most asked questions about heaven and hell and the end times, and today we're going to talk about the end times. Ooh, right? We're going to answer the question about the end times. And as a matter of fact, if we talked about the end times and sex today, all the youth would go crazy. Because if you talk about those two things, the youth group just goes wild. You know why? Because if you talk about sex and the end times, and if there's going to be sex during the end times, the students just go wild. They just get lit up. I'm just so happy I'm not in youth ministry. The people that are called to youth ministry are just a special group of people. They're gifted. They're called. I'm so thankful for them. Thank you for all the Bridge City student leaders. Y'all are amazing. I'm just happy that I'm called to deal with those people's parents, and you guys are called to deal with the blessing that the students are, and then I get to come in later. Y'all are amazing. But we have actually a great missions trip coming up for the students and in August, right? Bridge City Students, NRP Conference in Buffalo. More information to come on that soon. So Patrick and the team are going to be leading that trip. So stay tuned for that. But I just want to pray real quick because you hear end times and you hear we're going to answer a bunch of questions. As a matter of fact, we're going to give you a bunch more questions. Here's why. You ready? Get your notes out. Get your pen out. Get your phone out. Nobody has the answers. Boo. As a matter of fact, Jesus didn't even know. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for what you're going to do today. Thank you for what you already did. Lord, give us a perspective that we need. Lord, give us the perspective of preparation to prepare us for what we're called to do. Lord, give us open hearts, open minds to do what you want us to do as your church. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So what do we want you to know today? We want you to know how we are to live in light of the end times. What are we supposed to know? What are we supposed to do? Here's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to actively share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're on the clock. You want to know why? Because we're in the end times. I'm going to tell you when the end times started. You ready? They started at Pentecost when Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. Some say they started when Eve ate the apple. The end times started when Jesus went to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. That's what I believe. We've been in the end times for a long time. When Jesus went to sit at the right hand of the Father, We've been waiting for him to come back. Church, today is not going to be your normal, ordinary, everyday Pastor Nick preaching. There's going to be some laughs. Then we're going to have some fun. All you note takers, get your pens ready. You're going to have a blast. We're not going to have just one text that we're going to go through. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a lot of text that you're going to write down because you're going to study on your own. That means Monday through Saturday, you're going to read your Bible by yourself. Because that's what you're called to do as a growing Christian. Because we're going to create a lot more questions for you. Because you need to grow and learn how to grow on your own. So let's lighten the mood a little bit. You ready? Yeah. It's all about perspective. It's all about how we grow. It's all about how we look at things and how the message is delivered. You ready? Yeah. Alrighty. Before we get there, I want to talk about a word. One word. It's a fun word. It's an interesting word. A word some of you have never heard. As a matter of fact, when I say it, I want you to tell me if you ever heard it before. Maranatha. Keep your hand up if you've heard it. Okay. This word was very popular like 40-some years ago when some people met Jesus. It was a word that everybody knew. Maranatha. They would run around screaming it, yelling it in the streets. Rob ran around screaming on his bike. Maranatha, Maranatha. I'm just kidding. He really didn't do that. He did it on a golf course on his golf cart. It means, oh Lord, come. But it created something within people. It created this, I'm looking, I'm living, and I am conducting my life knowing that Jesus is going to return. The return of Jesus is going to happen. And it caused people to push that into other people's lives. Sometimes a little bit too much. Caused like a fire and brimstone type of mentality. Like, hey, turn or burn. You get what I'm saying? Like, hey, you're going to hell if you don't stop that. You feel me? A little rough around the edges. Stop that or you're going to hell. Not, hey, meet Jesus. This guy, he's coming back. He's going to come back for a clean and spotless bride, his church. But Maranatha, this word, created a hunger, a desire, an eternal perspective in people's lives. Now, we've kind of lost that because six people raised their hand even knowing what this word Maranatha means. Now, we want to recreate this in people's lives to have a hunger, a desire, a longing for, a looking for Jesus' return. Because it creates a healthy perspective of we're going to be prepared for Jesus. Okay? But we don't want to have this, hey, stop that or you're going to hell mentality. We want people to meet a real, living, loving God. But understanding that heaven and hell is real. So let's lighten the mood in the room a little bit. You ready? There's a guy holding a sign. It says, the end is near. People are driving past him screaming, you're crazy! Weirdo! You nut! And then you hear crashes down the road. This guy walks up to him and says, hey man, you think you could be a little bit more specific? Maybe change the sign and say the bridge is out? It's all about how we deliver the message. It's all about how we deliver the message. Maranatha, oh Lord, come. Y'all ready? So what does Bridge City Church believe about the end times? What are our views about the rapture, about the end times, about Revelation? Are we as the church, are we pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib? What is the trib? Y'all are thinking about a newspaper, some of you. Some of you never heard these terms before. Let's talk about it. We as the church understand these things. There will be signs of the end times in the earth and in the heavens. There will be false Christs with false signs. Now, I want you to know this. No matter what, we need to be prepared. The Bible tells us that we need to be prepared in season and out of season, whether it's favorable for us or not favorable. So what does this mean? I hope you get the opportunity one day to meet this lady that I'm about to speak of. Her name's Mary Aguillard. I believe she's 79 years old. She is a part of NRP, the Network of Related Pastors, which is a network that we're a part of at the church. And Rachel was just at the conference in Indiana State. And Natalie Paladin was teaching. I got to see bits and pieces of the message on YouTube. And Mary was sitting in the front row at 79 years old. She's known Jesus longer than a lot of us in this room have been alive. And she's taking notes as if at the end of the message, she's going to be given a test that her life depends on it. Now, mind you, nothing was being taught that was earth-shattering to Mary Aguillard. But she's taking notes as if her life depended on it. Because all she wants to do is sit at the feet of Jesus and be in his presence. I want to be like that when I grow up. I want to be like that now. That I take great notes, that I just want to study them. I want to go over them. I want to chew on them. I want to be that person. Why am I saying this now? Because there's going to be a lot of notes to be had today. There's going to be a lot of things for you to dig into later. So I want to see a lot of this today. I want to see a lot of Mary Aguillards. Because there's going to be a lot of scripture for you to dig into. There's going to be a lot of sitting at the feet of Jesus later this week for you. There's going to be a lot of false Christ, false signs, false teachers. Remember the tennis courts we talked about? There's doctrine, there's you and your beliefs, there's your experiences. And then there's the house that you believe, the stuff that happens in your home. That court, I believe my beliefs that there's a lot of stuff happening on YouTube. You can click pretty far on YouTube and hear a lot of false stuff. You can get some pretty wrong teaching on YouTube and Instagram and Snapchat and all those places. Just watch who you're listening to. There's a lot of great stuff on there too. Just watch. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be famines and natural disasters. There's going to be persecution of believers. There's going to be social unrest. There's going to be widespread apostasy. There's going to be people that will abandon the faith, that run away from God completely. There's going to be great tribulation. There's going to be a time that Jesus will return unexpectedly. There's going to be a time that the dead in Christ will be resurrected. I'm going to be in a lot of pictures. Good, Lori, take another one. There's going to be a time when believers who are alive at his returning will be caught up to meet him. the judgment seat of Christ where all will stand. Not just some, not just the ones that want to, all will stand. There's going to be a final judgment, the lake of fire, the second death. The lake of fire part, I don't like swimming, period. I don't want anything to do with that. I want to live a life that keeps me as far away as possible from that. You feel me? There's going to be a new heaven and new earth. A perfect age. And those who trusted him as Lord and Savior will enjoy a perfect existence in the fullness of God's presence forever and ever. Now, is this the millennium or is this heaven? I don't know. We're going to talk about this a little bit more. Now, the problem isn't with what Christians believe. The problem is what do we accept and what are we all like, what do we fight about? What do we believe? What don't we believe? And we all get stuck in it. The issue is sometimes with the sequencing or the timeline of how and when all of these events are going to occur. And we get really stuck in it. Now, the book of Revelation is one of the most difficult books in the Bible to interpret. It is highly symbolic, highly symbolic. It's metaphorical and allegorical. I know what you're thinking right now. Where's warm and fuzzy and funny Pastor Nick at? Where's that guy? Metaphorical and allegorical are two of the biggest words that I've ever heard Pastor Nick say. This is weird. But it's important because the book of Revelation is one of the books of the Bible that we all want to talk about. We all want to be taught on. We all want to hear about. But it is the hardest book in the Bible for us to understand. But yet we want to talk about it all the time. Everybody wants to have a connection group about it. Everybody wants to hear about it. But it's okay to just be ready for Jesus. There's a bunch of numbers and images and elements and places and figures that all indicate things symbolically rather than literally. Let me give you an example. Front page of the newspaper. Building falls and crushes people. Okay? You read that very literally because it was meant to be read literally. Am I right? Okay, am I right?
Yes.
Sports page of the newspaper. You ready? Cubs fall, got crushed by Pirates. Did the Cubs fall and then the Pirates crushed them? No Cubs players fell and no Pirates literally crushed them. You didn't read it literally, right? Because it wasn't meant to be read literally. Neither is the book of Revelation. It's symbolic. It's allegorical. But yet we want to read it literally. If I had a mic to drop that would do anything, I would drop it. But this thing's so tiny. But we get stuck in that. So let's keep going here. That's why we're going to talk about some prevailing views of the end times. There's four of them. And depending on how you interpret the scripture, that will describe these things and the view that you ascribe to. Now, it is really possible for you to not really fit in to one of these, or to fit into to fit into some of it. It's okay. And one of the things that we have to learn and understand is that none of the views perfectly describe the end, because we don't know. They do their best to provide really good frameworks, but the humble and well-studied people will admit that there's no definitive view. And that's okay, because Jesus said, I don't even know when I'm coming back. Really humble people are really okay with saying, I don't know the answer. So, let's do the frameworks here. Number one, dispensational premillennialism. I like to just say that you're going to dip before things get really bad. Why do we have to make such big words? Why do we have to say it so, make it so complicated? Jesus will return for his faithful people, the church, before things get bad. I'm out. You guys take care of it. I want to go now. Okay, number two. Here we go. Historic premillennialism. Christians will endure, persevere, and remain steadfast through the tribulation. This is like that Mon Valley spirit. I'm going to hang out and I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to white knuckle it. We're going to get through this. Number three, amillennialism. A figurative approach. Most things might have happened already, but we don't know. Hey, what happened? What's going on? Did that stuff happen already? Did you stick it out? Did you white knuckle it? Number four, postmillennialism. Christians have a responsibility to usher in the millennium by preaching the gospel and making the word, the world, heaven on earth, and preparing the world for Jesus' return. Here we go. None of these are wrong. What is our view at Bridge City Church? What is our doctrine? We don't have an official church doctrine or view. Why? Because it's not clear. We don't know. I personally, I'm a pan-millennialist. I'm just going to wait and see how it all pans out. I'm a pan pizza guy. Let's see how it goes. I'm going to be ready for Jesus. Is that cool? It's not clear. I choose to focus on what I do know. You ready? Jesus is coming back for his church, for a victorious bride, his church. I don't have a personal experience of the end times. I don't have a personal conviction of the end times, except that I know that he's coming back. Scholars have identified 1,845 different biblical references to the second coming of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, Christ's return is emphasized in no less than 17 books, and the New Testament authors speak of it in 23 of 27 books. The New Testament mentions his return in 7 out of every 10 chapters. In other words, one out of every 30 verses in the New Testament proclaims that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. The Lord himself referred to the second coming 21 times. I know that he's coming back. He didn't know when, so I'm good with waiting. But I'll be prepared, and I'm going to try to prepare as many people to be as good and ready as possible. I'm going to strongly suggest that we all read and reread Matthew 24 and 25. That we be ready. Matthew 24, verse 36. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And you can guarantee it that they're not walking around heaven right now saying, hey, do you know? Do you know? When's it happening? Did you talk to Father? Did you talk to him today? Is it happening? No, they're not, because there is not a worry, a concern, an issue in heaven. They're like the new offensive lineman in for the Steelers. I'm just happy to be here. You see that guy? His last name's Harbig or whatever. I'm just happy to be here. They kept asking him questions. I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy to be here. I'll play punter. I'm just happy to be here. That's what he kept saying over and over and over and over again. And guess what? They just drafted his brother from Wisconsin. And his brother said, like in the words of my brother, I'm just happy to be here. Really? 3 months ago in March. They said, they should draft my brother. He's a stud. That's what he kept saying. And they drafted his brother. And he said, I'm just happy to be here. We should have that same perspective. I'm just happy I'm going there. I don't know when, but I'm just happy. I got a trip booked. It's booked. I'm going. I don't know when. I don't know how, but I'm going. You know how many people show videos, I'm going to Disney World, they get their bracelets. If you get one of those bracelets, you spent money. Rachel and I were there. It's the happiest place on earth. I saw a lot of parents that they were not happy. They were not. I saw some dads that were just, this is expensive. Just boob, hitting their bracelet. Money, money, money. I mean, if you prepared and you're good, but it looked like a stressful place for some people. The big idea here, God gave us the end times information so that we would watch and be ready for the return of Jesus by actively sharing our faith, by building his church, and by advancing the kingdom. That's why he gave us the information that he did give us. Not so that we could just overly study it and study it and study it and study it. What's it giving us? Just so that we can say that we know the answers? I don't want to have the most answers about the end times. I want to have the most people going to heaven because of the words that I shared through Jesus giving me. I want to have the most people that were able to be baptized because of the effect that the people of Bridge City Church had on their lives. I don't want to know the most about the end times. I want to know that we all lived holy lives and godly lives, and that people's lives were changed and transformed because of how they saw you all living. I want to know that when the Memorial Day parade comes up at the end of this month on Memorial Day, that more and more people come to church because they saw joyful people walking down Lincoln Way, worshiping God. Right. He's not here right now, but Ryan McGinty sits in the second row every single Sunday morning, and there's going to be a picture up next week of Phyllis Paladin handing him an invite at the Memorial Day parade, and his life is changed because of that invite. Nate didn't know we're using that, but Nate, we're using that next week if we can. I have the picture. There's a picture of Ryan getting the invite from Phyllis Paladin. Ryan's wife is standing next to him. He's holding his little boy. And their family's changed now. Because of an invite. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we know that we need to stand firm in adversity and do whatever we can to advance the kingdom. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. Church, what if it was happening today? What if it was happening at 1:30? What if I said, and we knew, what if we got a calendar invite that it's happening today at 1:30? What would you do? I know what I would do. I would cancel my pre-marriage counseling meeting with Patrick and Krista. Sorry, guys, I love y'all, and your marriage is important, but it ain't happening. No, we could do it real quick. By the power invested in me by God's holy kingdom and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, almost today, but if it was happening. But that wouldn't be important today. Jesus is coming back, 1:30. But seriously, what would you do? You would run out of this place and tell every single person, Maranatha, Maranatha. Oh, come, my Lord's coming. He's coming today. It wouldn't matter if you felt embarrassed or ashamed or what people would think of you. You would tell them what he did in your life with reckless abandon. But there's a reason God doesn't tell us, because he wants it to be pure and undefiled. You must be ready all the time. Matthew 24, 44. For the Son of Man will come when least expected. He wants it to be your love for him and you sharing your love for him and you sharing what he's done in your life to be so pure and organic. Remember, he's coming back for a pure, spotless bride. Not you sharing your love for him because, oh man, better get ready. It's like when somebody's coming over to your house and you clean just because they're coming over. Oh, I better open my Bible up and put it on the coffee table. Pastor's coming over. You've all done it. I'm serious. I've done it. You know who hasn't done it, though? Every time I go to my mother-in-law's house, her Bible's open. Her highlighter. Yeah. Every single time. And she got to run and get it because Lennon wants to rip pages out of it. He wants, I don't know if he wants to keep them as like a memento or something, just to say he has them. And he does like the color in it. We got to actively be ready to share our faith, to preach it, to declare it, to tell it, to live it. To live it. Not just to live it. Matthew 24, 14. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all the nations will hear it. And then the end will come. Pastor John and Pastor Gary just got back from Mongolia. I don't remember all the details, but they're baby Christians. Christianity is like 30 years old in Mongolia. Christianity just got to Mongolia 30 years ago. It's crazy to think that. Like the first Bible got to Mongolia 30 years ago. Our church is 40 years old. We need to use our gifts to build Jesus' church. 1 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. How do we do it? By actively living holy and godly lives. Every day. Not just when it's easy. Not just when we feel like it. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. If we can hasten the day, let's just live a life that's ready to give an account. I don't want to live a life that's, hey, God, just hold on. I wasn't ready. Hold on. Remember I said, this is the best place to be except for heaven? If heaven's ready, I don't want to have to say, hold on, I'm not done yet. I got more I need to do before I give an account for my life. First Peter. We are to live sober-minded and self-controlled lives, using our God-given gifts to strengthen the church while loving one another. We're to avoid idleness and stay away from idle people and work hard. I don't want to be just sitting in neutral when he comes back. Now, don't get me wrong. If he just so happens to come back when I'm taking a nap, it's okay. Sometimes the best thing you could do for the kingdom is take a nap, because God doesn't like cranky Christians. And I get cranky sometimes. I need a nap too. Naps are okay. Pastor John Diana taught us that, right? Sometimes the best thing you could do for a kingdom is take a nap. He's taking naps in his office under his desk, right? Pastor Rick tells me I would have loved Pastor John. Never got the opportunity to meet him. So how do we actively do these things? How do we actively grow? How do we actively move forward? We just continue to grow. We can't do it all on Sunday mornings, church. Growth track is coming up at North Braddock. That's one of the ways we grow. If you're saying, I'm not growing, I'm idle, I'm stuck, This is for you. Next steps, the first and second Sunday, except that there's a holiday we reschedule, but it's taking place right now, down the hall. Get more information at the connection point. That's your next step. If you have just started attending the church, if you just started getting back involved, this is your next step. This is your next step. Looking at certain people, this is your next step. Okay? This is how you actively get involved. Stand firm in the face of adversity. Church, we need to move forward in so many things. I'm going to end with a quote today, and I hope it helps you get the healthy perspective of the end times that we all so desperately need. The degree to which we long for the return of Jesus is a measure of the spiritual condition of our own lives. Let's think about this one. The degree to which we long for the return of Jesus is a measure of the spiritual condition of our own lives. Maranatha. Some of us, until today, we never even thought about it. Do we have a desire for Jesus to come back? Did we ever have a desire for Jesus to come back? Were we just living for here and now? did we think maybe this is the best that he had to offer? Church, this is all temporal. This could all just go up like dust. I'm not, and we shouldn't be living for here and now. It's great we could experience heaven on earth. We should experience heaven on earth, but I want to know where I'm going, because remember, I booked the trip, and I'm excited for it. I don't know when I'm going, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I know it's paid for, and I know who paid for it, and it's all expenses paid, and it's fully inclusive. I don't know exactly what every bit of the resort's going to look like. Rob seems to tell me that there's going to be golf courses. That's fine. I do know that there's going to be streets of gold. And I'm hoping I'm going to get to ride my bike on it. All carbon. Light. Light bike. You don't get tired either. Just go for hours. And I'm hoping and believing that there are so many people there because I know what Bridge City Church believes, and I know what I believe, that heaven and hell are real. I want to know that before you leave this place, that you know where you're going. Because you booked a trip, whether you know it or not, to one of these places, either on purpose or by accident. And you don't know when you're going, but you're going. We're all going to stand before God. Say, how in the world can a loving God send people to hell? God doesn't send anyone there. We make a choice. He doesn't want anyone to go there. He wants every single one of us to be in His presence for eternity. And all He wants us to do is accept the invite. It's real simple. All He says you need to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. Saved from what? First and foremost, the vacation with the place of the lake of fire. That's number one. And number two is saved from yourself. Saved from a life where you're the Lord of yourself, where you're the boss, and allowing for Him to become the Lord of your life. The forgiver of your past and the leader into your future. Allow today to be your day if you don't have a time and a place where you've received Him as your Lord and Savior. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." If you don't have a day and a time and a place, let today be your day. Just slip your hand up to heaven and say, "Jesus, I need today to be my day where I receive you as my Lord and Savior." Anyone at all today. No shame, no condemnation. I don't know where you've been. I don't know how long you've been here. But don't leave here today without knowing that you know. The end is near. And I'm not talking about a bridge being out. Anyone at all today? Amen. Heaven's rejoicing. We're rejoicing with that. Amen. Anyone else? Father God, I thank you so much for new life. God, I thank you. We rejoice with heaven. Father God, I thank you so much that you've given us all that we need to know, that we need to be prepared, that we need to be living and longing for you. In Jesus' glorious name, God, I thank you so much for Maureen as she comes forward, Lord, that she's going to walk our sister through the gospel, Lord, and what it means to live a life dedicated to you, Lord. God, may we all live a life prepared for you, to honor you, and to be a spotless bride prepared for your return. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.